Toyota salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Okay, here we go on a Saturday morning. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network and ESPN 97.5 Houston, presented by Insperity. HR that makes a difference. 1-800-224-2004 is the number. Nice to have you aboard as we give you the latest as far as the world of golf is concerned. Charlie, great to be with you this morning.
Wonderful to be with you on this cold day in Houston.
About 36 this morning.
Yeah, 36. Even par.
Yeah.
But we're headed the right direction.
You know, and the same conditions out there in Phoenix the last 2 days. I mean, I have not seen the weather and this golf course play as hard as it has this over the last 2 days. Really, in the last 10 years, I've been watching this event.
All the many times that Ankel and I went out there, and we always had frost delays. Always had frost delays. It was, just one of those things that you had to expect. And then they always had a little. They didn't have 156 playing. They might have had 130. The field was a little smaller.
Yep.
But they could never get the first 36 holes in on time. But it's a great venue. It's so exciting to see who's up on top of the leaderboard. It's going to be a good weekend.
Well, especially with our conversations over the last year about the battling powers in golf. This is the second of 17 elevated events this season. The PGA Tour raised the purses of 17 events to $20 million to combat the battle with LIV. And, all the stars have to show up to these elevated events. They can take one off. You're seeing Zalatoris take a week off this week, nursing that back a little bit. He'll be back next week at Riviera. We're going to get back-to-back elevated events. And guess who comes back next week, Charlie?
The Tiger.
And it'll be great. He's the host. But talking about the Phoenix Open, let's stay on this for a second because, there's not a more exciting, welcoming event on the golf schedule than the Phoenix Open. Any event can go and feel welcome. You don't have to worry about, your bag of chips making too much noise. You don't have to keep your voice down. You can go to this 16th green and celebrate with 15,000 fans. It's a special week, Charlie.
It really doesn't make any sense. I mean, 500,000 people going to go to a golf tournament in February in Arizona, and it happens. It's a happening, and I mean, I don't know what percentage of that field you would say are non-golfers. They're more drinkers than there are golfers. I mean, but it's an incredible union, and then the afternoon is the Super Bowl.
It's interesting because the attendance gets over the last time they recorded the attendance was 2018. Now they can't keep track. It gets over a million, especially on Saturday. It's interesting because this is the fourth time that the Super Bowl has been in Phoenix when the Waste Management is there.
Yes.
And the attendance drops off the planet on Sunday when the Super Bowl is in Phoenix. So we'll see. It's an unbelievable time to be a Phoenician. Most importantly, of course, the Super Bowl is in town. The Suns just got Kevin Durant, which makes them an instant title contender with Booker and Nathan. And now they get the loudest event on the PGA Tour season.
Dallas didn't make out too bad.
No, they didn't. I think Kyrie's going to be a good addition. That defense is going to be in trouble late in games in the playoffs, but we'll see how that goes. Charlie, interesting, talking about the 16th hole, could other golf tournaments implement a stadium design, or does Waste Management only do this because, $500,000 a year goes to, they're recycling. They have an initiative, the Waste Management, to get rid of, all the waste and stuff. So when fans are throwing cans and cups,
It just kind of grew in Arizona. in the winter, you know, you got all the snowbirds coming from Canada all the way down through the north to Phoenix to have, you know, their vacations. And so it just kind of grew. It morphed into a happening that, you know, Augusta 16th has its own environment. We had a tournament up in Grand Blanc, Michigan. The Buick Open had the same type of environment where, but this here they start building this stadium 6 months out, and it's really great. I don't think any other, you know, they try to, you know, had a copy here at the Houston Open
on the 9th.
This was when it was out at Redstone, okay, on the 16th out there. And it worked pretty good, and you know, they had caddy races and stuff like this, but this here has its own animal. You know, it's unbelievable. If you've ever been there, you cannot believe. And to walk in this stadium, and I've been able to do that, it's incredible. And it's Yankee Stadium, and
yeah, right. No, it's up there with the greats. 22 of the top 25 players in the world are at TPC Scottsdale this week. You know, this is a great elevated event. I'm hoping this one is not in the rotation of elevated events. I hope it just stays as one. You know, there's three events every year that are going to get rotated out, yeah, as elevated. Pebble will get an elevated event next year, but I digress. 1-800-224-2004 is the number. Ton to do today as far as the world of golf is concerned. Charlie, let's get into last week at Pebble. Justin Rhodes, this is worth talking about, it and his win. It took me a while to digest what last week meant for him, as it's been 4 years since his last win on tour. But this is a resume, Charlie, that's starting to look like it's built for the hall.
It is a resume that's suited. You know, you have to get close to 20 wins, but major winner. You know, he really won the U.S. Open at Marion in fine fashion. He's been close at the Masters three times,
yeah.
But he's
gold
been a
medalist,
gentleman.
Gold medalist in
gold
Rio.
Gold medalist. He's been a gentleman all his life. He's just, you know, sometimes you win that major and you win the, and you get a little complacent, and then all of a sudden you miss your game. You start working harder and harder, and this is what's happened to Rose. You know, he was a lost soul there for a while, but boy, he played well coming down the stretch and to win the tournament the way he did.
And you're so right about the Masters. I mean, he's played on two occasions that I can think of, he's played well enough that would have won him a green jacket at the end of the year. 2015, yeah, when Spieth tied the tournament record at, yep, 18 under, and then, you know, 2017, it just, with Sergio winning his first major, you know, it just seemed like the luck or just the golf gods were on the side of Sergio as he beat Rose in a playoff that year. The other thing, Charlie, Justin Rose had a huge live offer waiting for him. At 42 years old, he fits right into that equation with Louis Oosthuizen and Sergio and Charles Schwartzel as guys that could go and ride off in the sunset and wouldn't have a worry about anything. But he said, you know, he's looking at 42 years old, at the second part of his career, yep, he wants to be at major championships.
He wants to be a Ryder Cup captain. You know how much his career earnings are?
I don't. Not
59 million.
Wow.
He's won a bunch of cash. So, you know,
11 wins on the PGA Tour, 11 on Europe.
Yeah. So, I mean, those are Hall of Fame credentials in the Ryder Cup. And he's going to be a good leader. Him and Rory, you know, that European team's kind of shaping up for Italy this year.
It is. Francesco Molinari starting to play well again. Eduardo's, yeah, going to be a captain, his brother. It should be a good event there in Rome, I think, next September. Charlie, another takeaway from last week. You know, there's been so much hype over the younger generation of talent on the PGA Tour, and rightfully so. You'll hear us talk to 23-year-old Pearson Cootie on the podcast. It'll be up later today. I think it's up right now, actually, thanks to John Bellmer. He's one of the most promising up-and-coming talents of the game. But the bigger picture to Rose's victory is that there is still a big-time veteran presence on the PGA Tour, Charlie. I mean, in 14 events in the wraparound season, seven winners have been in their 30s. It's not just guys jumping out of college and winning like it can be perceived sometimes.
Well, you know, Crenshaw, he won his first tournament out of University of Texas. But many people, you know, try to do that. But it's still a mature game from 25 to 35 in there. It's getting younger. But the fact of the matter is, you know, experience is really valuable to win. Sometimes you can catch a win just by it just catches you, like Jackie Burke says. You know, you don't find victories, they find you.
Great stuff. No, great stuff. And Charlie, you know, one more thing from last week, and it has to do with the Pro-Am. You know, did you read about this? Aaron Rodgers is a guy who we've seen at all these editions, not all of them. He's played in the match. He's played in the Corn Ferry Pro-Am at Lake Tahoe, and he's a 3 handicap. But I guess you can pick your own handicap when you arrive at Pebble. Is that how does it work?
That's a misnomer. How did this have been going on since day one?
How did he get away with a 10 handicap when his gin is a three?
The committee gives handicaps out. They know the situation, and sometimes they miss it. You know, you get a lot of these executives that haven't played golf in every. You know, so they'll give them 5 or 6 extra shots. That's a norm.
Oh, Keith Mitchell was not happy about it.
Well, too bad, Keith.
He thought him and Josh Allen rightfully had a victory.
Well, he can cry all he wants, but the tournament's raised over $200 million. It's so successful because of the amateurs. That's still an amateur event. Bing Crosby, that really started the pro-ams in professional golf. And no telling how many millions of dollars have been raised because of pro-ams. So don't play next year if that bugs you.
Well said, Charlie. When we come back, we'll talk about CBS's new initiative with the on-course interviews. Keith Mitchell. Speaking of Keith Mitchell, your good buddy, Charlie, he joined the CBS broadcast last week. We'll talk about it on the other side right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network. Visited by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Back after this.
Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
At 15 minutes past the hour on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 Houston and Sports Map Radio Network, brought to you by Insperity HR that makes a difference. Nice to have you aboard with us on a Saturday morning. 1-800-224-2004 is the number to get in here and join on some simply outstanding golf conversation. Last segment, we reviewed Justin Rose's 11th PGA Tour victory at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am and talked about the age gap between PGA Tour winners this season, 22 years on that. In case you missed that, you can find it on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN975.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. Scotty Scheffler off to the races and defending his championship, Charlie. 68, 64, 10 under, and you know, 22-mile-per-hour gusts. Pretty impressive stuff.
Very impressive. But, you know, since his run last year, his last victory was the Masters, you know. So it happens, you know, he had 4 in a row almost. And he had such a run at other majors. But to be the defending champion, I like him getting ready for the spring. And he'll take this into Augusta. But 64 on that golf course is pretty darn good.
You know, he's 1-for-5 in converting 36 hole leads. That one victory, of course, came at the Masters. He's a master at coming from behind to win, from what we've seen so far. But you look at the guys behind him, Charlie. This is not going to be an easy tournament for Scheffler to hold on with that lead. I mean, John Rahm 2 shots back. Every time that Rahm has been anywhere near the lead coming down the stretch on Sunday, it's just he has that effect where the rest of the field just feels like it just comes back towards him.
Hey, what happened to John Rahm in the Ryder Cup playing Scheffler, Scotty?
Well, he lost.
He lost the first 5 holes. Mm. You think that's in his back of his mind?
A little bit of a different format, though, Charlie.
No, it's not. It's going to be one-on-one.
You think it's going to be one-on-one come Saturday, well, come Sunday?
Yeah, or it could be today. Aren't they going to be paired together?
Yeah, they are. They are. But, I mean, you have
– Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah, you have – you know, Wyndham Clark's going to fall off the planet, we'll say. But Jason Day, Sung J.M., Xander Schauffele, all within, you know, all within six shots.
This is exactly what elevated events are all about. Get the good players playing together. And this is one of the pairings right now. And you could get, you know, you could have Rory shoot 64 today.
Yeah.
He could get in the mix. You know, it's this is going to be fun weekend.
Charlie, do you think the PGA Tour I talked about this in the opener. The course, take away the weather. You know, I know it was blowing wind and it was cold. Over the first 2 days, they tucked the pins in some locations that I had not seen over the first two rounds of the Phoenix Open. The course is totally firmed out. It's perfect, but it's playing firm. Do you think this is something they're going to do with the elevated events at Riv and at all these courses?
Yeah, no, this course has always been on borderline because if they don't, it's too easy. You know, playing in a dome, it's just like Palm Springs. You know, Scottsdale is, you know, once it warms up, man, the fairways are perfect, the greens are perfect, everybody's going to go low. I mean, Mark Calcavecchia shot 27 under here one afternoon, you know. So low scores are buying. So they've got to have it on the edge. And if they have a 15, 20-mile-an-hour wind, that really gets harder. Because, you know, Scotty had hit a beautiful shot in the 16, and it looked like it was going to stop 3 feet from the hole, and it went off the green.
Yeah, well, that's what I was talking about. I've never seen a Friday pin location on 16 there.
Yeah.
But great to see. Of course, the wind escalated all that. We'll get to our predictions on the Phoenix Open later. We're going to talk about Jason Day and Ricky Fowler's resurgence. That's great to see. 1-800-224-2004 is the number. Charlie, 82-time PGA Tour winner Tiger Woods committed to the Genesis Invitational yesterday. His first official start since we saw him miss the cut at the Open. What are your original thoughts there?
Well, you know, it surprises me a little because of the weather in L.A. at that time of year. It couldn't be cold in the morning, and with his conditions, you know, cold weather is not conducive to great scores. But he is – this tournament benefits his foundation. It's a great way to get going. And Tiger, he misses golf. And so he's going to get out there as soon as he can, and it's going to be a great tournament with him there.
He's never won at Riviera in 14 career starts there, just 40 miles from his hometown of Cypress, California. He made his PGA Tour debut at Riviera in 92 when he was just a sophomore in high school, which would make it all that more sweet. I'm not going to pick him to win next week, but it would make it all that more sweet if he won his 83rd victory there, passing Sam
Plus, Steen. See, he's got to be there on Sunday to give the trophy away anyway. Might as well give it to himself.
You know, and Charlie, on the cart conversation, you know, he's not going to use a cart.
No, don't even approach that.
You know, he used one for the match. He used one for the PNC. He said he's not going to use it in an official PGA Tour event. Why?
Well, because he's got pride. He you know, the game is a walking game. The game is that's the way it's played from Scotland to L.A. And you know, he was against providing a golf cart for the coach at Oregon, Arnold Palmer, and them. But they acquiesced. And
Casey Martin,
you know, you know, I was against it. I mean, once again, you know, we got certain rules for, you know, what are they going to do if a guy wants to come back and play football? Are they going to make it flag football?
Right.
So, you know, you can't change the game for one individual.
Especially for the official world golf rankings. You know, you're competing against the whole world.
Yeah.
Speaking of traditional rules of golf, one thing with these elevated events, Charlie, there's a lot of talk next year, 36-hole cuts could be removed from these elevated events. We've talked about it a little bit on the show, how Spieth has said, you know, he loves the traditional aspect of the cut line and grinding on Fridays. There's an entertainment element to it. But for the fan that is working till, you know, 7 on Friday, you want to give them the opportunity to see the Stars on Saturday and Sunday. What are your thoughts there with the cut?
I still think the cut is such a valuable part of the game. It allows the weekend to be more conduced, reduced to you know, players that are playing good, and the players the first 36 holes they have an opportunity, but it really would change the game. I like cuts, and I only made 3 of them in my life, so I don't know what I'm talking about.
But it gets you going on Fridays, you know. Yep. It gets the fan going.
Yep.
You know, when your favorite player, I mean, Rory, luckily, I think he shot 5 under yesterday, so he's going to be clear. Yeah. He shot 5, but he's 5 under through 13, did not finish his second round, 3 under total in 18th. But, you know, when he's kind of hovering on the cut line on Friday afternoon at the Players or at the Phoenix Open, you know, it really gets the fan going. We'll get back to the Phoenix Open, Charlie. CBS Golf, they executed their second on-course interview last week with Keith Mitchell. It wasn't as entertaining as Max Homa the week before, especially because Max ended up winning at Torrey. But John Rahm and Patrick Cantlay were asked about these on-course interviews, and John Rahm said, well, you know, would you interview Tom Brady in the middle of an NFL game? He threw the question back at the media. He doesn't seem that interested. It is ultimately up to the player, but, you know, what are your thoughts there? It could be more entertaining if the players could get more involved in the broadcast in the middle of the round.
You know, I can't see Mickey Mantle going up to home plate and having Mike. Hey, Mick, how you doing? What are you going to hit at today, you know? He's going to say, shut up, I'm busy over here. Yeah. And the full field of play, I think let the clubs –
Do the talking.
And we have, you know, you have people out there, commentators, starting with Jim Nance and the boys. They do a great job of, you know, they're former players. They've been around it so much. They can paint the picture without bothering the player.
Yeah, you don't see it in the NFL. Rahm was right about that. You don't see it in the NBA. You know, no, there's no reporters going over to the bench and interviewing a player in the middle of a round.
That's just the producer
in the middle of a game. Sorry,
that's just the producer not knowing the game,
right?
And so he wants to bring him. It's uncalled for.
If you read the post round pressers, they provide all the transcripts. You can get all the information that you need after the round. Yeah. Really, in the grand scheme of things, there's no point. There's no additional information that you get out of it. It is nice, Charlie, to hear the player and the caddy mic'd up and hear their conversation. We'll talk about the on the other side, plus predictions for the Waste Management Phoenix Open right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity HR, that makes a difference. Back after this.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Will Doctor.
30 minutes past the hour on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network and ESPN 97.5 Houston, brought to you by Insperity HR, that makes a difference. And Charlie, before we continue on the golf, how about a quick word from our friends at Insperity?
You know, Will, as a golf professional, a head golf professional, as a teacher, you're always, people say, well, give me a tip. Give me a tip that's going to help me. Give me a tip I can become a better putter. Give me a tip where I can hit my drive better. Well, I'm going to give you a tip about business. And this is really serious business, because that's how we pay for our bills. That's how we support our families. That's how we go into retirement. Tips are important in golf, but they're really important in business. And I'm going to give you a great tip. If you have a small business and you really want to grow it in 2023, there's no better place than go to Insperity.com. Insperity is a company that, sure, it is a HR company, and it can help you navigate all the way through the problems and learn how to treat your people correctly and make sure they're paid correctly, so on and so forth, government regulations. But, you know, just like this recent health and economic crisis in America, Insperity has helped their clients navigate through the chaos and ultimately rise above those challenges. So you need a help, you know, you need a helping hand. In golf, Jack Nicklaus had Dick Grout, his teacher. Tiger Woods had his dad, and then he went on to Butch Harmon. So they could have good information on how to do and how to perfect their ability to run their businesses. And Tiger now is a billionaire. So Insperity, an HR company that makes a difference, but most importantly, it's helping businesses succeed so communities can prosper. I wish our government had that same tagline. So if you're in the business, if you're in the small business and you want some help, give Insperity a shout.
Okay, 1-800-224-2004 is the number to get in here and discuss some Simply Outstanding golf conversation. What an electric weekend at the Waste Management Phoenix Open with, you know, world number two and number three, Scottie Scheffler and Jon Rahm, both atop this leaderboard, Charlie. World number one, Rory McIlroy, isn't too far behind. He's tied for 18th at 3-under with still a couple holes to play in his second round. You know, over the next 2 weeks, the top spot in the official world golf rankings is totally up for grabs. You know, if Scheffler or Rahm wins this week, they go to number one heading into the third elevated event next week. So this is an exciting time, Charlie, at the top of the official world golf rankings.
It really is, and it's where the PGA Tour wants it to be, coming off last year's distraction with LIV Golf and some players going across the line and won't be able to come back, and it's a Ryder Cup team. The PGA Tour and its officials have set the course, and everybody knows what their game plan is, and we're going to have great competition. We've already seen a lot of great tournaments this year. So moving forward, it's going to be fun, especially as we get to that April date.
And Charlie, you know, there's a lot of people that have said it. They've referred to the start of this season on the PGA Tour as a slow start. I just can't seem to see that. You know, we saw a 20-year-old win at the Shriners. Max Homa, you know, is kind of an early 30-year-old journeyman in some sense, since he lost his tour card in 2015 and 2017. He's been around the block. Jon Rahm has won twice. You've seen the PGA Tour since, you know, the Tour and PGA of America went their separate ways. How do you view this first year of the PGA Tour's reaction to LIV?
I think it's incredible. I mean, they've upped their game. They've got, you know, players are out there to make money, and we see all the other sports, from baseball, football, but you know, the crowds are there, the people are there. The players deserve the money that they're earning. And that's one good thing about golf, is you've got to earn your money. It's not guaranteed. There's no guaranteed money out there. You got to, you know, in LIV you do, but that changes the ball game. But you got veterans like Jason Day and Johnny Vegas. I want to see them win, and they got to have, you know, a chance. And like you just mentioned too, you know, how many victories have we had over the age of 30?
Seven. One in their 40s. Seven players have accounted for eight wins, with Max Homa winning twice.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a fantastic sport, and you get what you earn. And I can't wait for this year's golf schedule to play off and to play out. And the kids coming from the Corn Ferry Tour. We talked to the one yesterday.
Yeah, Pearson Cootie.
Jason Cootie.
Pearson Cootie.
And his grandfather was a Masters champion. And here's a young man that out of college, he's already won more money than his grandfather won in his career.
Isn't that unbelievable? You asked some phenomenal questions, you know, yesterday about, you know, how his travel has changed. And really the best one was whether he's had the conversation with his grandfather, Charles, yes, a Green Jacket winner, about the fact that he's already made more money than him and he's not even on the PGA Tour yet, Charlie.
Charles Cootie, who was really a great champion and great person, and he'll just see out. But those are inflated dollars. Those,
yeah.
Those, you know, over you know a cup of coffee when I grew up it was a dime, and you got a donut with it. You know, this morning I brought us in some, you know.
Oh yeah, good. A good red eye, you know, official drink of David Faraday, who, you know, has gone on to live. But, you know, anyways, I digress. You talked about the schedule, the major championship schedule coming up.
Right.
What a year, especially coming off last year where, you know, U.S. Opens at Brookline. The Open Championship was at St. Andrews. PGA was at Southern Hills. You thought that couldn't be topped. That's not the case this year, Charlie. Of course, Augusta in April is always a treat, always a tradition unlike any other. You know, they're going to go to LACC for the U.S. Open.
Magical. That's going to be incredible. The PGA is – is that Oak Hill?
Oak Hill, where we saw Duffner win
Rochester,
in 2013.
And it could snow there in May up in Rochester right there by the big Great Falls, yeah, Niagara Falls.
With the weather year we've had, I guess you never know.
Yeah.
And then the Open Championship, which could be the most special one at Royal Liverpool. DiVincenzo won there. You know, your fellow Argentine in 67.
Right.
I talked to Mateo Fernandez de Oliveira about that a couple weeks ago. That seems to be, besides if Rory wins at Augusta, that is the major championship that I have circled on my calendar. Home of the Beatles, home of so many great champions.
And Rory got his first Open Championship there. I was there and with my guy, and it's a great golf course. Love the people. That's a magical thing. You know, you have 60,000 people there a day, and all of them are nice and so knowledgeable of what's going on. Yeah, it's not the Phoenix Open, that's for sure.
Circling back to the U.S. Open at Los Angeles Country Club, that's not a big fan venue, is it? It'll be a limited U.S. Open, or am I incorrect?
No,
there?
The L.A. Golf course is 36 holes, so they have a lot of room to host a major championship like this. You know, Santa Monica Boulevard is going to be too busy. You know,
yeah.
So, but they'll handle it. They always have, you know, Riviera. It's a golf course close to there. They can handle that type of traffic.
A big theme of today has been players in their late 30s. We saw a 40-year-old win last week in Justin Rose.
Right.
You know, one thing that I'm thrilled about is that guys like Justin Rose, guys like Jason Day, guys like Ricky Fowler are going to come back and play in major championships,
yeah.
We hope, with Jason Day.
Yeah.
Justin Rose qualified for all of them last week, but with Jason Day and Ricky Fowler in the mix at the Phoenix Open, you know, that really brings me back to, you know, 6 to 8 years ago when Jason Day was the best player in the world,
right.
and Ricky Fowler finished top five in every major championship.
And, you know, he almost won the Masters, and you win the Masters, you're exempt for life. You don't think he doesn't look back at that, you know? So that's other pressures that people have when they're playing at Augusta. You know, you win, you're champion for life.
We heard Jason Day after the round yesterday say, you know, he misses not getting any sleep on Saturday night when he has the lead or he's in contention, and you get that feeling in your stomach, that surge of energy, you know, he misses that. And I think there's something to be said about, you know, that hunger. Let's talk about that on the other side, Charlie. Go ahead.
One point
25
is
seconds.
When I was leading the PGA Cup tournament, I went to bed at 9. I got up at 9:15.
We'll see you after on the other side of the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference.
Listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Will Doctor.
All right, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. It's Sports Map Radio Network and ESPN 97.5 Houston, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. And before we continue on the golf coverage, a quick word from my friends over at the Swing Sound app. One thing that all amateurs and weekend golfers struggle with is consistent rhythm and tempo in their golf swing. You either swing the club too slow or too quick, especially under pressure when you have a big putt to win your weekend skins game or late afternoon match against a buddy. And what Marius Filmotter, the founder of Swing Sound Golf, available on the App Store $4.99, has figured out is that almost all bad golf shots are caused by bad tempo, because study results show that all good golfers share a common and consistent rhythm when they swing the club, whether it's your driver, irons, putting. Good shots are a product of good rhythm. Folks, ever since I got the Swing Sound app, it has eliminated my need for a coach or outside instruction, besides the golf doctor, of course. But I put it on my speaker when I'm working on my putting stroke in the backyard. I turn it on my headphones when I'm warming up on the range. Do yourself a favor. Take control of your golf performance and establish your swing tempo by downloading the Swing Sound app, available for only $4.99 on the App Store or Google Play. 1-800-224-2004 is the number. Scottie Scheffler leads the way at the Phoenix Open. Let's get to a lesson from the golf doctor. I know you have an unbelievable book in front of you by a guy who taught the greatest champion to ever play this game.
And a great parent. But Jack Grout is a unique individual, and he has a book of the legacy in golf, and you can go on Amazon and get it, and it's really a great read. And one of the things that he helped a guy named Jack Nicklaus, so he's got to be pretty knowledgeable. But have the patience to realize that everything will not come at once. This attitude will help anyone who aspires to play a decent game of golf. It's over a period of time. You know, you put a cake in the oven, you got to let it have time to bake. So when you go out this spring and you go seek instruction, just make sure that you're a patient individual and tell the golf pro that. So now, I know this is not going to happen overnight. I'm not expecting a miracle. Give me sound fundamentals that will help me, my swing, hit the golf ball. That's how to use the club, how to move your body. Everybody, you know, if you're not driving, but there's one good word that I use in my golf game, and you got to visualize. You got to visualize what it is you're trying to do with your body to move the club. You've got to visualize what kind of body motion it takes to move the club. The club is a club. Jim Flick used to call it an instrument. You got to treat it like an instrument and swing it like an instrument, not like a club. Because Jim would always say, you know, back in the day when the caveman would leave his cave, he'd walk out of the cave and he'd pick up his club because he's going to kill somebody. He's not going to go win the Masters with a club. You're going to win the Masters with an instrument. And treat the golf club like an instrument. And I guarantee you, with patience, like Mr. Grout says, you're going to find your game July, August, September, you know, not in February.
You know, in a time when, you know, you look inside the ropes, Charlie, and there's coaches there all week long, Monday to Sunday, every day, you know, Jack Grout was a believer in the self-sufficient golfer. He was only with Nicklaus a couple days at the majors, and they would meet at the beginning of every season to go over the fundamentals, to start from scratch. You know, I feel like that is being lost. A lot of players, I was one of them in college, that would just rely on texting swing videos to a coach and, you know, always relying on someone to be there. There is something to be said for that self-sufficient golfer who can figure it out on the fly out there on the course.
It's ownership. You've got to own your own golf swing. I taught my grandson from zero to about 13 or 14. And once he started really showing interest in developing a golf swing and getting help from assistant pros and friends and all that, I backed away. I'd rather be his grandfather than his golf coach, because you know you got to rely on your own ability, and that's nobody's going to be inside the ropes with you. Get your mindset, get your attitude, just like what Mr. Grout just says. You got to have that patient. Take a patient pill every morning. You know, we would all do better if we had patience with everything we do in life.
There you go. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Now, Charlie, the history of the Phoenix Open, it dates back to, you know, the early 1950s. You know, Arnold Palmer won this back-to-back years in 62 and 63. So many great past champions, Julius Burroughs, Johnny Miller, Jack Nicklaus, Ben Crenshaw, Calvin Peet. The list goes on. But to me, what made this tournament what it is today was when Tiger made a hole-in-one on the 16th in 97. He really set the tone for that environment and brought that level of energy to Scottsdale.
Yes. Yeah, that was a moment in time where Tiger, you know, he kept doing things as his game progressed, and he'd do special things that would, you know, special things like win the Masters, beat Davis Love in a playoff. But that day on that, you know, 16th hole and make a hole in one, everybody really knew who Tiger Woods was, you know. So it's a moment in time, moment in the history of the game. But Johnny Miller was the king of the desert. I mean, he won tournaments by 20 shots, Tucson and Phoenix. I mean, he would come out, and he was such a good ball striker that he'd win by 10 to 12 shots. But the history of that tournament, and all the tournaments are so rich because they keep repeating themselves over and over and over again. And just like the Houston Open, all the great champions we've had come through, starting with Jackie Burke and Ben Hogan and Nicklaus, and we're going to get a spring date, it looks like.
It does. I couldn't be more fired up about that. You know, I'm hoping – what do you think – what's the process with getting that week before the Masters? Valero, San Antonio has it right now. Obviously, whatever week we get, at least we're in the spring. But well, it'd be nice to get the week before the Masters back.
Valero, when Houston lost its major sponsor, Shell, Valero stepped up and bought that week for $100 million. They committed to the tour that they would, you know, one of the oldest tournaments on tour, that we'd always have a tournament in San Antonio. So I don't think they're going to displace the San Antonio tournament and allow Houston to go in there. I think Houston would be happy with a tournament. We used to have it in late April. So that you know, is yet to be determined. I don't think we're talking out of, you know, out of place.
And with that $100 million commitment, that comes with the week on the schedule as well.
Well, yeah, that's your tournament. Yeah. You know, they're not going to say, well, okay, you've been good. And although the tour does some stuff that sometimes is hard to believe. But, you know, with the demise of the Match Play Championship, leaving Austin Country Club, and I've heard through the grapevine that the members at Austin Country Club were, okay, we've done this enough, now give us our golf course back.
Yeah.
And they wanted to move on, so they're going to displace. And I don't know if they're going to get rid of the Match Play Championship. That's yet to be determined. But I do think Jim Crane and you know, from day one, they want a spring date.
You know, looking at, we just talked about Johnny Miller, some of the great desert golfers. You know, Phil Mickelson won as an amateur in Arizona. He won
the, Phil who?
Phil Mickelson. Yeah. Well, and that's what that.
No, I say that in jest.
Of course. Well, no, that was my next point.
He won it in college.
You're exactly right. You know, he has not made a cut in a year. We saw him miss the cut last week at the Saudi International. You know, we got news this week that Billy Walters, you know, his book's coming out in August, and you know, is supposedly going to bury Phil. You know, we don't have to talk about Liv. We've talked about it enough this year, but you know, everyone is wondering where he is. How is this going to play out? Do you have any word from, you know, how his, you know, this is going to play out for Phil.
I have had no word behind the scenes about Phil Mickelson. So
that'll do it, Charlie. And we'll see you next week. Yeah, I know. That'll do it already.
Who's going to win?
I have Scottie Scheffler finishing it out. What about you?
That's it.
He's going to repeat his title. All right, we'll see you next week. Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.